Well, good morning. A little flurry of activity here today. with us here today. We're trying to do things right. And so looked it up in our Constitution, and we want to have a special business meeting to bring before you the project of repaving or asphalting our driveways. But we have to announce it for 2 weeks. So, and it was supposed to be in the bulletin. We didn't know that when we printed the bulletin. So this is your appendix to your bulletin, okay? So you've been told. And we'll tell you again next week. And then on the 22nd, we'll present it to you. We're still trying to get bids in, and they haven't all showed up yet. But explain that project and give you an opportunity to vote on that, if this is something you want to do or not. This will be in next week's bulletin too, but and it's been in the bulletin as a line, but the Alpha Women's Center, their fundraising banquet is going to be held at Greendale Baptist Church on Friday, September 20th. I think it got moved up a week from normal, but because of the people involved. But Evangelist Michael McCurry, I believe he's the one that leads, used to be Bible Track Echoes. I think it's just Bible Tracks Incorporated or whatever it's known on VCY on in the morning about 6 o'clock if you're up that early. But he's going to be the speaker for that. There is a cost involved, $15 per ticket and love offering taken. So might keep that in mind. And we'll send a sheet around next week to see if there's people that want to sign up, and we can let them... kind of need to know for those that are preparing the meals, make sure they have sufficient food available. Okay. Got a note here. We send off a gift to the Bowser family. They had started what's it called? GoFundMe. Yeah. Page to help raise funds to help with medical expenses and funeral expenses and stuff for Pastor Bowser. And we sent that to him, and I got a note back from his wife, Sandy. It says, thank you so much for your generous check you sent. I know that God will meet all our needs. I appreciate you all and your part of it. I appreciate your continued prayers in the days ahead. I miss our retreats and conferences together. Love from our family, Sandy. So... you might continue to be praying for the Bowser family, and also for the Smith family. Our missionary Tim Smith, as his father passed away, had the funeral, and that was up in Ladysmith. So, all right. Inside your bulletin, there's a little something you can read later. Okay, gambling. A bad bet for families, okay? Also in your, I found this to be interesting. It's just a portion of a longer article, but we know how important the blood is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, forgiveness. And yet there are a number of denominations have taken that out of their hymnals. And this is just one, okay? It's not just the Methodist, but it says bottom page. You can this is in your mailboxes, so you can read it on your own. But there's a number of denominations that are using hymnals that have taken out any reference to the blood or the atonement. It says in the 1989 Methodist hymnal did not have one reference to blood or atonement, replacing these hymns are contemporary songs that are said to be relevant for this new age. Well, you start throwing out, getting rid of the blood, you're lost. Okay? So, but that's something that's been around, but I thought, well, this is something in print. You can read it for yourself, pass it on to maybe somebody else. Sometimes people aren't even aware of that. What's in their hymnal or what's missing until somebody points it out to them. So, all right. Take time to look over the bulletin, your prayer sheet, and retreat coming up this week, a men's retreat. There's still, I think, brochures back there to tell about that, if that's something you want to be a part of. Then on the 20th and 21st is the ladies' retreat. Some of the ladies are planning on attending to that. And so a lot of good things going on here this fall. And we'll tell you more about this, but it might be something you can mark on your calendar. I think this is probably the first Sunday in October, but it's October the 6th. The Milwaukee Area Life Chain. We're out there on Blue Mound and holding signs, abortion kills children, Jesus forgives and heals, adoption, a loving option, to various other signs for an hour or two out there on that Sunday. So, okay. How about we go sing? And Tyler's going to come and lead us. The first one here is 106. Praise Him, praise Him.
Morning, everyone. So if you want to stand up, we'll start with 106. Praise Him, praise Him. Turn forward to number 10. Oh, worship the King. be seated.
All right. Good singing. Good singing. All right. Anybody have a word of praise? They just been waiting to tell somebody good something good happened to you this week. Yes.
I'm seeing a lady called Bridget. She's 87, and we did a whole lot of talking the first visit. And I asked her, does she have a Bible? And she says she pointed right over there in the kitchen corner. She has a Bible. So apparently she's Lutheran, but we do need to talk more about it. But my heart's excited about seeing her. She used to be a pharmacist, and she's retired, of course. Mm. She lost her husband a year ago, so if anyone would think wanting to pray for Bridget, she cried most of the visit, but I kept hugging her and telling her that God loves her, so I'm excited about going to see her.
All right.
There's a lot of people that don't understand what's going on in the world today, and she does, and I won't say that.
So is this somebody you see weekly or?
I will, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, okay. Well, good. Bridget. Right, okay.
The pray. Lord has just welled her up in my heart. I think about her. And last night I woke up and I'm thinking on her.
Yeah, okay. Well, good. Looking for opportunities to talk to them about the Lord. That's a solution to much of what's going on in this whole world, isn't it? You kind of wonder where things go. You know, we got the school shooting here last week. You know, 4 people die. We got, I don't know if you saw that one or not, but I don't know if they've got it all figured out, but it sounded like down there by London, Kentucky, somebody got up on a bridge overpass over the freeway and started shooting at cars. And that kind of comes home to Maureen and I, because when we're running to South Carolina, London was our place to land, you know. And of course, there's a flea market there, but love flea markets. That's why we're always scratching. We got fleas. But yeah, I think 7 people. Not everybody got shot. They had, of course, you can see if somebody starts shooting. There's going to be wrecks. So some people got hurt from the wreck. Other people that got shot. I don't think anybody died, but in probably not too good a shape. So, and see, who thinks just going to school could be dangerous, or just driving down the freeway? That, and you're not even in Chicago, you know? So, yeah. All right, Mike, do you have something good to share? Great. Yeah. Yeah.
So much to going
on. Yeah, they were doing checks on him for brain activity at one point, you know, and now he's in rehab in the 80s? 85. So, all right. Lord watching over us no matter where we're at. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Mark?
This fellow from Chicago, Rick from Chicago, as I always talk to him about, he had been shot, which I've mentioned a number of times, like 7 or 8 times, and the Lord led me to him. And I've been sending him scripture, and he commented how much that scripture has greatly helped him in his temper and just his personality in life. So praises to everybody that the Lord's still working in his heart and changing
him. Amen. We're challenged, aren't we? I just realized I need to put up a verse for patience and tape it on my computer. whenever I'm in a hurry, that's when it wants to update. Like here, I'm trying to, between Sunday school and church, run in there and type up something so we can give it to everybody. And it's, you know, 10 minutes later, it's still spinning. And yeah, I flunked. I got to take that class over again. So, all right. Well, let's sing another. Regardless of what may other things have happened to you today, oh, how he loves you and me. All right. Shall we stand and we'll sing these? To bridge it next week. Okay, all right. All right, one more here. The steadfast love of the Lord. Okay, it never ceases. Never gonna run out. New every morning. All right. Greet those around you. Jeremiah, are your games on the same night each week?
Saturdays.
Okay. You think of it on Saturday morning, say a little prayer for Jeremiah. He's playing football. And the opposing team had somebody get their arm broke in the yesterday, I guess. So, things can happen. So, all right, good enough. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the innocent judged and the criminals set free. Well, that sounds like newspaper today, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us this past week. Thank you for watching over us and keeping us safe. We do pray that you help us to learn truths and principles from your word here today that we can apply to our own lives. Pray you continue to use us as a witness for you. Help us to be a lighthouse wherever we're at. Help us to shine, not showing off, but that we might show forth Christ in our life, our lips, the way in which we conduct ourselves. And we'll thank you for it. We thank you for the provisions that you make for us as individuals and family, as a church. We thank you for the gifts of God's people that help us to stay current with our bills and commitments that we've made to missionaries and others. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you've provided, and we'll continue to do so in the days ahead. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, last week we were talking a little bit about Labor Day, about jobs, some of those sort of things. But 2 weeks ago, we briefly touched on a couple of religious leaders, Annas and Caiaphas, spiritual leaders of their day there in Jerusalem. We didn't spend a lot of time looking at them. We were primarily looking at Peter and his three denials. But now we see Jesus is coming before the civil leaders there in Israel, that of Herod and Pilate. And John tells us a little bit about it. He doesn't record everything. Luke tells us a little bit what happened when he was before Herod. It's really kind of a one-sided conversation. Herod's asking questions and Jesus is not answering any of them. But we see here that there is some dialogue that takes place. And we look here at Pilate. And we see here that he gets switched back and forth to different people, different leaders of different areas of Israel. And we look here in John 18, and the first verse tells us there, we're picking up in verse 28. It says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." And so we notice here it's early in the morning. What has been taking place has lasted all night. They arrested Jesus at night there in the Garden of Gethsemane. They took him to Caiaphas and Annas, the religious leaders, made false charges against him. Now it's daybreak, and they're bringing him to the civil leaders. The reason why they were doing that, they wanted to do away with Jesus. They wanted to have him killed. But they didn't have the power to do that. That was reserved for the Roman government that was in power at that time. And so they're bringing Jesus to the civil leaders to see if they can't get them to do that for them. And you stop and think about this. Is again, this is the last day of Jesus' life prior to the cross. And he knows what's ahead. You know, sometimes we don't know what the day is going to hold come for us. But Jesus did. And imagine the weight of that on his mind as he's standing before these various leaders. Again, they were the leaders of that day, either elected or appointed, but they would have been nobody had God not given them the power to become that leader. Last day of Jesus' life, and you stop and think, what would that be like for us if we knew that today was our last day? Again, for Jesus, it wasn't anything that he had done wrong that he was going to have to suffer and die on that cross. He's dying for your sins, my sins, the sins of the world. And today we want to look at three different elements here in this passage. The first was that of the defiled Pharisees, the defiled Pharisees. Now, there may have been some Sadducees mixed in there with the Pharisees, but may have been a combination of the two. They were the religious leaders of that day. And they take Jesus to the governor's, the civil governor's headquarters. And it says that they didn't go in themselves. It said it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Okay, so these are Jewish leaders, religious leaders. The civil leaders would be Gentiles. They didn't want to be defiled by touching or having something from the Gentiles defile them so that they couldn't eat the Passover later that night. And so they're real concerned about about this. It's rather amazing when you stop to think about it. It's kind of like those who are of the climate change religion or the worship Mother Earth group, you know, save the planet, but go ahead and kill the babies. You know, it makes no sense. Letting the criminal illegals into our country and giving them thousands of dollars and providing for all their needs. Some of these things don't make an awful lot of sense. And, you know, then we have some of our own people, veterans and others that are homeless, sleeping on a park bench, doing without. A lot of things in this world don't make an awful lot of sense. But here, these religious leaders, they have falsely accused Jesus. They've arrested him, and he's an innocent man. But they don't want to go to the Gentiles' house because they might be ceremonial unclean if they were to touch something unclean there. It's okay to have Jesus killed, but we don't want to touch something that might make us unclean. And keep in mind, pollution doesn't come from the outside, but from within us. Jesus said, "For out of the heart come the evil thoughts." Okay, the evil is within us, not just something we're going to touch. Oh, there might be a germ here or there, but sometimes we need to be exposed to them too, so we build up some immunity. But what defiles a person comes from within. He says, Jesus ran into this sort of thing a couple of times, and as people accused him or his disciples, they ate with unwashed hands. He says, "But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." But so here we have these, really, they're criminals. They've made false accusations against Jesus, and they're already defiled. They're defiled in their heart. As God looks upon them, he sees their sin. It's not what they're going to touch in this Gentile's house or in this public place, but what's going on inside them. And yet they're worried about touching something that would make them unclean while they have an evil heart. And we have to be careful that we don't get carried away with some of the small matters of life. We major on the minors, and we miss out on the things that are really important. This is turning the clock way back, okay? This would probably be back in the early 80s, and we went to the area churches. This is in Minnesota, and we're having a church recognition council. This church had kind of died. They brought in a pastor, a blind pastor, And they would come up with a new constitution, and we were going to recognize them as a duly organized church and everything. But he had a few things in there that kind of his own little pet peeves that we said, nah, that's not something you want to put in your constitution. Now, as I look out here, all of you guys would be okay. But that was back in the day when some of the guys had longer hair. And so he had it in the Constitution that nobody could be a member if their hair was touching their collar. Said, no, I don't think you want to try to legislate that, you know. What's the spirit, what's the condition of their heart? Don't worry about their hair so much. Kind of majoring on the minors. Well, that's kind of what these guys were doing. And the Pharisees, Jesus called them blind guides straining at the gnat, swallowing a camel. Okay, they're worrying about this little bitty thing buzzing around, and yet, you know, they're okay with a camel. That was just a kind of a picture for them, a figure of speech, but it was a bit absurd as to what they were doing, and they were straining at the gnat. They were keeping their distance. Boy, we don't want to get close to those Gentiles while they're swallowing the camel, while they have gross hatred in their heart for Jesus, who had done nothing to hurt or injure them in any way. And so I find it rather interesting that these Pharisees wouldn't go to the house of the Gentile, but yet they would go to the Gentile to see if he wouldn't do their dirty work and killing an innocent man. That was what they wanted him out of the way. They didn't even have a specific accusation against him. When they were asked, you know, why are you bringing him here? They said something to the effect, if this man were not doing evil, we wouldn't have brought him here. Okay? So it's kind of, they're a bit of a politician. They kind of dodged the issue. They didn't really answer the question. And Pilate's, and paraphrasing here, he says, why don't you take care of this? And their response was, well, the Romans won't let us put anybody to death. And we want this guy really disposed of. We want you to take him out for us. And so they were indeed defiled. They might not have touched anything in a physical way, but in their hearts, they were defiled. And so we kind of apply this to our own lives. We have to be careful that we aren't tempted to do away with somebody without necessarily touching them, okay? But we can ruin people's reputation just by what we say. And that's what they were doing to Jesus. You know, they had all kinds of accusations against him, none which were true. We can ruin people with our words. And that's what they were doing to Jesus. And we got about 60 days worth of listening to that on the political scene here, wherever, okay? But the Pharisees, they arrested him. That wasn't necessary. They grilled him before Caiaphas and Annas. That was uncalled for. But now they're lying against this man. And that's a sin. And the thing was, Jesus was competition to them. You know, we kind of look back a little bit. Why did they have it in for Jesus? Well, there were more people going outside of town to the hillsides where Jesus was teaching and preaching than there were coming to the temple. And I don't want to read too much into that, but if they weren't showing up at the temple, maybe they weren't giving as much as they would have otherwise either, okay? But anyway, Jesus was competition for them. We got to remove the competition. And so they were going to do their best to eliminate him. It's better for us if one man die, okay, than for this guy to hang around and mess things. We got a good thing going with the Romans, okay? And they still had their high important seats in the government itself, but in the religious realm. They were being well taken care of. And they're afraid that Jesus is going to come in and mess things up for them. We got to get rid of this guy. And so we see this discussion here next that takes place with Pilate. And Pilate's asking Jesus four different questions. Three of them Jesus answers. And the first question was, are you king of the Jews? I mean, that was what the Jewish leaders had said. And Jesus responds to them basically, you know, did you come up with this yourself or did somebody tell you? And it's interesting, this phrase, king of the Jews, it only occurs one other time in the Gospels, and that's way back at the beginning when we find the wise men from the east coming to Jerusalem and saying that, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They were looking for Jesus. But now it's brought up again. Well, Pilate, he's kind of king of the hill, if you will. He wasn't considered the king, but he had a high place in the government installed by Rome. And you hear this other guy, they're bringing him in, and he's a king. Whoa, who is this guy? What is he here for? And so, but here the enemies of Jesus are using this phrase. They could have just said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, but they didn't. They said, this is King of the Jews, because that's going to set the alarm bells off for Pilate and Herod. Hey, this guy, maybe this guy's competition. Maybe he wants my job. We better get rid of this guy. So they're saying things that's going to cause these civil leaders to dislike him before they even know what's going on. They make it look like Jesus is going to take their job and he's running competition to them. And Jesus, though, states that my kingdom is not of this world. If you notice there in John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence or from here. So Jesus is saying, my kingdom's not anywhere around here. It's not even of this world, okay? So that ought to have taken away some fear to them. But if somebody told you that, here's a king, but it's not king in this world, you go, huh? What planet is he from? You know? And the second question that Pilate poses to him is there in verse 35, Pilate answers, says, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Okay, so I'm not one of you, but what did you do wrong here? You know, your spiritual leaders have brought you here, make accusations against you. They've delivered you to me, but what did you do? And this, again, back in verse 30, they said, they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. So if he hadn't been a wrongdoer, a criminal of some kind, we wouldn't have brought him here. But he's looking, maybe Jesus will tell me what's going on here. Maybe he'll confess of some sin and make my job a whole lot easier here. But that's not what Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Now you stop and think about the timeline, okay? And we'll just kind of insert that in here. These guys had no clue what the future held, but Jesus did. A lot of people out there in this world today have no idea what this world is coming to. You know, some are afraid of, and reasonably so, atomic warfare. We're going to blow up this planet. Or the climate religion bunch, you know, it's warming up. you know, it's going to gain a half a degree over the next 10 years. We're all going to cook and die, you know, and all kinds of different things that they're coming up with, that we got to preserve the planet. It's up to us. We have to discipline ourselves, you know, so we're going to do away with, you know, cars. We'll all be running around in an electric car. And I won't go down that road. You know, one's just as bad as the other from one perspective or another. But we got to save the planet. Folks, this planet, and get this in your mind, so if anybody starts giving you this line, you could tell, no, God's word says that this planet is going to be around for at least another 1,007 years. The rapture is going to happen. Believers are out of here. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation on this earth, followed by Christ coming back to this earth, setting up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Then it will be done away with. But this world isn't going to just disintegrate and, you know, well, either we were, it's done a lot of things. We were going to either freeze to death, and then that wasn't happening. And then, well, no, it's going to heat up, you know, and we're all going to drown because the polar ice caps are all going to melt. And, you know, we're all going to be up to our neck in water. But it's interesting, these guys that preach this stuff are still buying oceanfront property, you know. Or, you know, now, since those didn't work out, you know, the hot and cold, we'll just call it climate change. And I was reading some scientist, that he wants us all to do away. Well, let me ask, how many of you enjoy air conditioning? I know it's hard to pick the right number on the dial, but he said we should do away with air conditioning because all those air conditioners are blowing all that heat up and it's making this world hotter. And so we should all just learn to go without air conditioning. You should sit out in your front porch if your house is hot. Or, no, really, and or, you know, remember when you were a kid and you ran through the sprinklers? Yeah, you can go through the sprinklers or spray water on yourself, you know, if you're kind of hot.
No, we're supposed to preserve water,
aren't
you?
What?
We're not supposed to use water.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, don't waste the water. Yeah, I mean, it gets kind of crazy after a while. Like, again, but if you take God out of the picture, it's up to man to preserve this world, you know? And so anyway, yeah, there's a lot of crazy things. But again, this world's going to be around for a while. And Christ is going to set up his kingdom. And folks, we are going to be a part of it. We're going to be here, okay? And this was not the end of their fear tactics. Well, this is jumping ahead a little bit. But look at chapter 19, verse 12. It says, from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not a friend of Caesar's. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. So it's, if you want to get in trouble with Caesar, you just let this guy go. You know, and so they're putting the fear into Pilate. And that's why he's ready to let him go. And so here, you know, he's asking, you know, am I a Jew? And then we see here in a third question, he says, so are you a king? Well, if Jesus has a kingdom, then he must be a king. And so, again, Jesus answers him there in verse 37, 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And so he says, if we're born of God, we are of the truth. And the Holy Spirit's been given to the believer to guide us into all truth, to help us to understand the Word of God. And just knowing the truth doesn't come natural. We need God's help to know the truth, to read God's word, to understand it, and to believe it. And so as we learn, we read, we listen to the word of God, we get truth from him. And in this world, we have opinions, and maybe there's a popular opinion, but just because it's popular doesn't mean it's right, you know. They can be seriously wrong. And so then the fourth question that he raises to Jesus is, that is, what is truth? Now, this question Jesus doesn't answer. The apostle, at least Apostle John, doesn't record the answer, but he says, what is truth? And a better question might have been, is who is truth? And here, you know, truth is standing before Pilate. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, okay? He is the truth. He's standing right there in front of him. Have you ever been looking for something? And maybe it's your keys, maybe it's your glasses. I don't know what you tend to misplace. And you can't find. And then, you know, it turns out, oh, it's kind of right there in front of you. As my mom used to say, if it had teeth, it would have bit you, you know. But, yeah, and you find, oh, yeah. Well, that's what it was with Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And yet Pilate can't see this, okay. He's blind to the truth. He doesn't understand who Jesus is or anything else. He just knows these guys want to get rid of him. And again, for us today, you know, people want to know the truth. You know, we need answers for questions that we have or problems and how to deal with it. God's word can help guide us into that. Doesn't, you can't just go, and think that's going to be the verse that I need for today. You know? You heard about the guy that did that, right? You've heard that one, aren't you? Yeah, okay. That's, what am I going to do today? Judas went out and hung himself. Go and do thou likewise. No, I don't like that verse. No. No, you may have to read a little bit. May have to pray. May have to study a little bit. But God can help guide us. Yeah, so that we make right choices. And Jesus said, again, I am the truth. The truth is dependent on Jesus. He's the King of truth, if you will. And he's came to give us the truth about salvation. Would we have known about salvation had it not been for the Lord Jesus? And how we ought to live, you know? Do we just choose to live like everybody else does? A lot of people out there not living anywhere close to what the scriptures say. But we ought not to be like Pilate, as what's truth? We have the truth. It's probably, well, I'm sure it's in your home. You know, it may be in your car. For you ladies, it might be in your purse if you got a Bible small enough to put in your purse or your pocket. Okay, there's truth. And it's not going to be revised. It's not going to be changed. You're not going to come back next week and find that it says something totally different. You know, it's not like the politicians. You know, they've been saying one thing for how many years and something else, you know, when it's time to be reelected, because they realize that maybe that's not so popular. But if we want the truth, we want God's will, then we need to go to the source and to find the truth from God's word. Another application we might make at this point is, again, it seems, and we don't know, we weren't there, we don't have a video recording of it, but it might be that Pilate never gave Jesus the opportunity to answer that question, what is truth? He just said, what's truth, and walked away. Because it does tell us that after he had said this, he went back inside, okay? So it's like he wasn't really all that interested in wanting to know what the truth was. Well, maybe Pilate didn't want to know the answer, or he didn't want to wait for the answer. And so the challenge there for us is for us not to be like Pilate, not to be in too big a hurry when we're talking with somebody, let's give them a few moments. Let them answer. If you ask them a question, let them answer the question. And we want God's word to speak to us. Sometimes we hear something, maybe it's something I say, something pastor or somebody on the radio or television, you know, and it doesn't immediately sink in, and you think about this a little bit, oh yeah, okay, now that begins to make sense. And because sometimes people, we're so busy thinking about what our response is going to be, where we assume we know what they're going to say, and so we've got our next line ready to go before they even get a chance to respond. You know, sometimes God's word tells us stuff that we don't want to hear, you know? But we can't just pick and choose from God's word what we want to obey or what we want to kind of ignore. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that kind of went after the Bible with his little penknife and cut out stuff that he didn't like. You know, we don't have that option. I mean, you could cut it out, but it doesn't mean that God's going to ignore it. But maybe it tells us. Maybe you had a knockdown, drag out fight with a neighbor or somebody else. Hopefully it didn't happen, but sometimes those sort of things does. And, you know, and you go back to scripture and it says, love your enemies. Oh, but I don't want to. I want to be mad. I want to hate that person, you know? God says, no, you're supposed to love them. Or maybe it's telling us something else about our lives. Maybe we've got a habit that we need to deal with. And I'm just picking one out of many that are out there. But Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink. I can't hardly read my writing here. Oh, strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Ooh. You ever find people that drink and are not so wise afterwards, you know? Maybe it's like that little insert that came and we put in your bulletin talking about gambling, covetousness. You know, we're not satisfied with what God gives us, so we got to see if we can't up the ante a little bit. And I remember one fellow that became acquainted with, and he didn't have two nickels to rub together. He drove up one day, and I was talking to him out here, you know, and over in the passenger side on the floorboard were just all kinds of receipts and tickets. What is that? Oh, these are all the lottery tickets that he'd bought. One of these days, he was going to win, and he assured me that if he won a lot, he was going to give the church a lot. Yeah, okay. You better figure out how to pay the light bill before you worry about that. But yeah, and so we can get, you know, what city in America has the most pawn shops? Yeah, I was just curious what that was, because usually they kind of go hand in hand, you know, and yeah, you lose all your money, but boy, you're going to win, so... What have I got here? My watch? Well, what else can I pawn, get a few bucks so that I can go back in there and win it all back, you know? 22, that was maybe old too, but 22 pawn shops in Las Vegas. And they're not there to lose money, okay? A lot of people forking over stuff. I remember when I was in the service, it was kind of amazing on payday, you know, that they... I didn't get into that. I shouldn't say that. I played penny ante poker once, and I lost a dollar, and I quit. Big spender. And I didn't get that much, and I wasn't about to give it away to somebody else. But I'd come in at night, and they call it the day room, but they had a pool table. Well, that was where they're doing their dice, rolling the dice. You know, and before the night's over, I'm going to win. You know, and what do they got left? Money's all gone. Car keys. Yeah. You know, how do you go home and tell your wife we're walking from now on because I lost the car last night? Now, a guy I work with won a car. You know, it was kind of neat. It was like a 1938 MGB, you know. I mean, it drove like a truck, but it was neat to look at. And, but yeah, I mean, it's just that you lose control and it's you're going to get it. Boy, I'm going to win it back. I don't know how, you know, people calling home, you know, can you wire me some money? I'm here in Las Vegas. I need a money to get back home on, you know. Well, they say what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. So what you lose stays there, right? Yeah. They're not giving it back. Oh, we're just teasing. Here's your money back. Yeah, all right. Doesn't happen that way, does it? And so we have to learn to wait on the Lord. And many times we don't want to wait. But the Bible encourages us many times. You can look that up sometime. See how many times the word wait is in there. You know, and that's what we tend to not want to do. We don't want to wait. But it says, wait on the Lord. Keep reading, keep praying, you know, and God will guide you to the truth. And so we apply these applications both horizontally, okay, to those around us as well as vertically with the Lord. And when we converse with other people, we need to have patience. We need to be willing to wait for the answers and not assume that we know what they're going to say and just walk away, kind of like Pilate seems to do. And patience is not always the easiest thing to come by. You know, it's listed as a fruit of the Spirit. And that's why I say I have to live for a long time yet, because the Lord's got a lot of work to do on me for me to gain patience, you know. And I don't like to wait. Here, the other day, bringing the kids home, and there was a big accident over there on Forest Home. And it was putt-putt stop. They were redirecting. They had the fire truck blocking the road off, and we had to go off some other road. There was another road before that, but why don't you turn on that road? Come on, people, come on, you know. And the light turns and three cars go through, and, you know, this is going to, and the kids, we want to go by it. We want to see what happened. I don't want to wait 15 more minutes to go by. I don't think you can see anyway, you know. We're taking the quickest way out of here. Well, so I turned on the first road. It wound me all over the place, but at least I was moving. I wasn't just sitting there, you know. Patience, you know, that's one of not my strongest qualities, and the Lord's got to keep working on me. But at all times here, our minds were kind of short-sighted. We tend to want everything right now, okay? You see this in life, you know, and I've observed this through the years. You know, kids, okay, anybody younger than me is a kid, okay? But the people, young people get married, and we tend to want to start out with what mom and dad had after 40 years of marriage. You know, we want the house, the car, everything else, the house full of furniture, you know. And, you know, it took mom and dad a long time to get what they got, but we kind of want to start out that way. And, but we want other things. We want that job. We want a godly spouse. We want physical healing. We want to escape an addiction. But we want it right now. We don't want to wait. And we see here that, again, waiting is a part of growing in our life, both physically. Remember when you were a teenager and you couldn't just wait to be the next year? You know, I'm 13 and a half. You know, I'm going to be 14. Or I'm going to be 16. I'm going to get my license. Are anybody, you other folks, all excited about the next birthday? No. We've learned to wait. But here we see here, we got this discussion here with Pilate, the last one here, and we'll get going here, is the delivered Passover lamb. And here we see that they've treated Jesus like a hot potato. You know, where it just kind of keeps getting passed to somebody else because nobody wants to hang on to it. You're going to get burnt. Well, nobody really wanted to deal with Jesus because no matter what they did, somebody was going to like it, somebody was not going to like it. There was kind of a no-win situation. And so Jesus kind of gets passed around. They're out looking for somebody else to take this on as a that's somebody else's responsibility. So Annas passes it to Caiaphas. Caiaphas takes it to Pontius Pilate. Then he hears, oh, he's from Galilee. Well, Herod's in town. Let's send him over to Herod. And that doesn't work, so he goes back to Pilate. And Pilate finally ends up making the decision as to what's going to happen to Jesus. And Pilate comes to them and says, okay, you have a custom that of this time of the year that I release one man for the Passover. Who do you want? The king of the Jews? Or do you want Barabbas? And they're crying out, Barabbas. Barabbas is a robber. I mean, he's jailbait of some kind. And so they deliver Jesus over to the Roman soldiers, ultimately to be crucified. And he's delivered as the Passover lamb. It's like the God provided a lamb when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. God provided a lamb to die in his place. And God provided a lamb for the people there in Egypt that they killed and put the blood over the doorpost to protect them when the death angel passed over. And here we see here Jesus ends up being the Passover lamb. He's the one who's going to die. He's the one who's going to shed his blood. He's the one who's going to provide everything that's necessary for salvation. The only thing we have to do is to believe that he did it for me. I deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. But we see it doesn't end there. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, we want eternal life. There's no other way other than through Jesus Christ. And so it was clear these religious leaders, they didn't want a real trial. They just made up stuff as they went along. It was a sham trial. There was no sin on Jesus' part. The witnesses they had made up stuff and spread the lies, you know, that Jesus was a blasphemer, that he promoted civil unrest. He was going to cause problems for the Romans. Anything that was going to cause these leaders to want to get rid of Jesus, or that you didn't have to pay your taxes, and so on. And so they choose the robber, Barabbas, instead of Jesus. And the Pharisees have been behind this. They're the ones been fanning the flame around Jerusalem. You know, we got to get rid of Jesus. You know, he's a troublemaker. And so when the time came, they were ready to raise their hand and cry out for Barabbas. Well, as we kind of pull this all here together, we see that, you know, we think of this as Jesus before Pilate, that Jesus is the kind of the victim and Pilate's the boss. But it's really the other way around. Pilate is before Jesus. Ultimately, he is king of the Jews. He is the Son of God. And no matter who's he standing in front of, he's the one in charge. Things happened that day that, you know, for us, we say, oh, that's horrible. An innocent person died. We needed an innocent, sinless person to die on the cross to provide forgiveness for our sins. And it was all happening just like God planned. All right? And just like God had that planned out, he knew exactly what was going to happen that day and into the next, the crucifixion, the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It was going to happen just like God planned it. And folks, I firmly believe that God has a plan for your life and mine as a believer in a similar way. It's like God's blueprint. He's got your life planned out. It's not just one accident after another. And Jesus, again, was king of the Jews. And not to those Jews that were just had some Jewish blood running through their veins, but to those who chose to trust him as their Savior. And he came riding in on a donkey into Jerusalem. And those people were laying down their coats and Hosanna and praise the Lord and all the rest of this. And by the end of the week, some of them at least had changed their mind to crucify him, crucify him. We'll see more of that in our future studies. But in John 10:27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice." In other words, we listen to the shepherd. Folks, we need to be listening to the shepherd. There's all kinds of voices out there today telling us all kinds of stuff, some true, some not. But we need to be listening to the shepherd, to the Lord Jesus. He won't guide us down a wrong path. And Jesus went through all of this for us, for you, for me. He did what was necessary to provide forgiveness for our sins. And folks, the Word of God tells us that we're all sinners. There's nobody walking the face of this earth today without being a sinner. Jesus was the only one. And he came to seek and to save those that were lost. He came to forgive us of our sins. And he will forgive your sin today if you'll but come to him. Acknowledge your sin, admit your sinner, and need your salvation, and ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sin and give you his gift of eternal life. He'd do that today, folks. He can change your destiny from hell to heaven, and it happens just like that. You're not going to get a certificate in the mail or anything else, but God's keeping the books. He's the one who's writing your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And once it's written in there, nothing is ever going to change that. Do you need to trust Christ today? And how about it as Christians? Again, all kinds of voices out there. Who are we listening to? Many are out there are trying to destroy the competition. And we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in it. All right? God's, you know, I won't go too far off on this one, but you know, a lot of people were looking forward to November, was it 5th, whatever it is. But you know, God's going to continue to watch over and care for us and meet our needs no matter who it is that wins, right? God didn't give up on watching over the Israelites when they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. He took care of them in the wilderness. He can take care of us here too. Now, I've got my choice in mind, you know, and you probably do too. But ultimately, God's in charge, and we need to trust him for it. He didn't say it's always going to be fun or we're going to like every decision that's made. But he's got the end in mind, and God's going to get the glory for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the way that you sent your own son, your most precious possession, to the cross to die in our place. We deserve to be up there on that cross ourselves to die for our sins. But you sent a substitute. You sent Jesus. Not that Jesus died that we're all automatically get to go to heaven. It's those who choose to place their faith and trust in him alone for their salvation. Lord, we pray that that might be true for each one here today. If not now, that it soon would happen. And we thank you for the way that you'll continue to guide our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to sing a closing hymn, if you would, please. Take the name of Jesus with you. 116.
By the way you live and what you share with them. 116, take the name of Jesus with you. Sing a verse in that. Thank you. Careful where you walk. Or listen, this is not flying south yet. So.